In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
We walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. An ABC correspondent sent this note out on social media. Trump will be an ex-president in 13 days. The fact is that getting rid of Trump is the easy part. Cleansing the movement he commands is going to be something else. He is referring to the movement of desperate disenfranchised Americans that are sick of government corruption, the same people who were attacked for their views, opinions, and political choices. This doesn't look good for anyone in this country. Don Bradley, a past guest who was a good friend early on with Don Croft, maintains the Daily Messenger blog. He writes about the spiritual wickedness that's about to unfurl in our society. Quote, it is clear to anyone not in the Satanic Coven Club or possessed by demonic intelligences that the cloud of evil just got immensely thicker, blacker, and is upon us all, regardless of spiritual affiliation. If you are a reader of this and my other sites, you know precisely what I'm talking about. I cannot stress enough how grounded in reality we must be now, facing the future of this country and the world, for the beast is now in total control of this country. I've been listening this past year to exactly what the coven controlled assets in politics, media, government, and education, all of them, and all of what they're saying. Being essentially angry, vain, and filled with the bile of satanic hate, the Freak Brigade is never happy. How can they be? Their very modality is one of pain, hate, and cruelty, which is what we've seen for 4 years. Cruelty to decency and good people. Hate of innocent children to the point of setting freak predators in clown makeup to destroy their minds. Hate-filled actions of anything that is normal, wholesome, good, and true. And they want the whole world to be exactly like demon-infested souls, unable to satiate their lust for debauchery, destruction, and death. What's to stop them? And whom? All legal and moral avenues have been tried. All failed. Quite obviously proving my decades-long declaration that the satanic network controls everything in our time. My family has heard it so much, they just roll their eyes. Here he goes again. Now, this is Don Bradley writing this out on his blog, Daily Messenger. This information runs parallel with Mark Passio's amazing research as well. And it continues, as stated previously and warned about 4 years, this time was the last time any fair and lawful option to retain our freedoms was open to us. There will be no more fair and free elections in this world, certainly not in the U.S. Electronic voting and the fix will always be in, always. The new approved and only that religion will be Satanism. Any form of worship to the Most High God, Yahuwah, Yeshua, is to be outlawed. They've declared it. Soon the King James Version of Bibles and all Bibles will be outlawed. Anything that declares the blood of the Lamb will be erased from everywhere. By year's end, 12 months from now, we will be an openly communist country. No rights, no privileges, no ownership, unless a coven member. Find and download, while you can, the Gulag Archipelago. Literary historical record of the vast system of prisons and labor camps that came into being once communism came into power. That's here. That is now. For they have created hundreds of these in Mexico, Canada, and here in the U.S. Guess who gets to go there under the pretense of being in the vicinity of a fake virus pandemic? This is what contact tracing is really about. Time to face the ugliest of facts. Do you trust and have a relationship with Almighty God? Every resource going forward will be leveled at your destruction, courtesy of carefully crafted false flags designed to demonize Christians of any kind of stripe or faith system, Protestant or Catholic or whatever. Do not doubt this. It will come to a crescendo this year. Trump was correct. They're after us, not him. He was just in the way. That time is past. thanks to the Nephilim assets who betrayed him and us at every turn. Expect the mark of the beast to flood our world with satanic zombies. Even now, they are passing mark of the beast laws in Canada, Great Britain, Spain, Europe, China, of course, and also here, starting with Wisconsin, New York, and California. This time is known biblically as the Tribulation of the Saints. Those who don't accept this mark will be sent to the camps. You know what that means. It means death and slaughter on an organized wholesale arrangement. The Chinese have perfected this gulag system in their own country. They have murdered nearly 60 million Christians since World War II and murdered countless other millions for no other reason than the government said so. If the commie says you have to die, they do not need a reason for you or anyone. You'll see. Expect also the Ark of the Covenant to be revealed. The four angels that guard the Ark will make it known to the world. This is and will be humanity's last free will act. To choose simply God or the devil. Pick one. The dead in Christ are the lucky ones. They get to miss this darkest of historic times. The camps are not about COVID of any version. They're about removing any sign of semblance of God in the world. And you, dear God-loving folks, are that sign and semblance. They've erased him from schools, closed the churches, not strip clubs, though, and have banned reading the Bible openly in public in most locales. Try it sometimes and watch what happens to you in short order. Every ugly vice, debasement of civilization, will not only be encouraged, but funded by government. Obviously, this has been the case for a while, and some know, but expect it as a freedom of rights nonsense to push humanity downward at every available turn. False flags beyond what has come before will, and already are, scheduled to fall on Sabbath's special satanic dates at all. The false flags are to get the guns. The guns go in 2021. A great many patriots will die, but most will give them up for safety. And that's when it's game over. Once they get them, and they will get them, expect all the worst of Stalin-Mao systems to be rapidly deployed nationwide. Look to China. There is your example of the new America. Because the commies have the lid so tightly screwed upon the people that learning the real truth of that satanic system is now impossible. Just ask refugees from any communist country. And they are all shouting right now about the dangers of commies openly ruling in our land. This is of a fact coming. There would be a grace period of 72 hours to turn them in. After that, a long prison sentence. Most will comply, not all, but most, to avoid prison. They only ensure at that moment of being later taken in anyways on some other pretext. By year's end, the controls over travel, buying, and selling will be in full motion, visibly for all to see. And there is no one and no thing to stop it. Once they have the guns, it's over. Remember George Washington's third vision. Artificial shortages starting in February and then continuing to build until they collapse the system and the dollar. This is the seed of their great reset coming into view. Shortages, no milk because of a fake bacterial scare with the cows. Then the wheat and the meat products, and on until the food becomes a scarcity to be had by social credit. That's right. Your ability to buy food will depend upon two things, having the vaccine stamp on your hand and being a loyal, good little Satanist. This all starts for real on the Witches' Sabbath of IMBOLC, February 2nd. Kamala will also begin her ascent to the throne on or about Imbolc. You will see on TV, and no one will say a thing because the truth tellers and awakeners will already be silenced, as this is now ongoing. Gas shortages, then rationing. To the right people, they can get as much as they like. In World War II, where they instituted gas rationing, it turned out later that there were no shortages and the rationing was a fiction to bring hardship and the reality of war to the home front. It was a psyop, and it will be again. All these shortages will be fake. Shortages in medicine, painkillers, expect mass suffering for long-term chronic pain sufferers, cancer patients, trauma victims, no matter. All will find the days of easy medicine over. I could go on. There's much to say. There's much that is known. It doesn't matter. The above is enough. The Satanists have been telegraphing, revealing their plans for the last 18 months. Was anyone listening? I was. I am. Please listen now. That was dire, but I think there's a lot of truth in it. Okay, we go now to hear a broadcast by Zach Taylor, the host of Red Pill 78 News, and his colleague, JR. Their website is redpill78news.com. His team was in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, and we hear part of their debriefing broadcast. As many know, the events that transpired are likely a coordinated false flag operation to further vilify supporters of President Trump. Let's hear that broadcast.
Gang, thank you so much for joining us. With me tonight is J.R. Majewski. J.R., how are you tonight?
Oh, man, I'm elated. I think we're pulling things together. We're coming here for the stream. And this was the culmination of our weekend, or our week. And I'm always trying to be as best as I can positive-wise. So I'm pulling it through. The floor dropped out from under us, I think. But yeah, it sure did. As good as we can be.
You know, we started off with this. You know, we had millions of people on the mall today, or the Ellipse, whatever it's called. It was gorgeous. I've only been to Washington, D.C. a couple of times, and it was only for short trips, maybe for a specific thing. Certainly it was special because we were there to hear the president speak. And it was the March to Save America. I mean, this was a galvanizing force. All of these patriots, millions of patriots coming together from across the United States for a single purpose. We wanted to make our voices heard. We wanted to show Congress. We wanted to show our elected officials that we were sick and tired of having our voices stifled, having our vote completely just trashed, you know, nobody actually listening to us, our elected officials making decisions based upon what's good for them, what's good for the special interests that fund their campaigns. I think that there was a really palpable energy in the air. I want to start with how it started. You know, we woke up at like 4-5 a.m. We wanted to make sure we got there early because we wanted to have a spot where we could hear POTUS speak. There were also a number of other speakers there. Actually, would you do me a favor and tell me what Chickawaxky says right there?
It was a setup. They got us good smear campaign.
Well, yeah. I think you're onto something there, Chickawaxky. President Trump invited us all here. He said it was going to be wild, and it definitely was wild, although perhaps not in the way that many of us thought it was going to be wild. We gathered on the mall. We waited in line for a long time. We set up camp. We met a lot of great people, many people that I, was expecting to see, and then a lot of other people that I wasn't expecting to see. It was cool, I mean, it was an experience like no other. President Trump came up and spoke after a couple of other speakers. He really pumped up the crowd. You could hear a pin drop. I have never been in an audience so large where so many people were just absolutely silent. We hung on every single word. And even though we were kind of far back, there were speakers. But it was, you had to strain to hear. So it was a real testament to how much everybody cared to make sure that we understood what President Trump was trying to tell us. And so that ended. And the understanding was, and mind you, there was no real instruction, except, we had heard that we were going to march to the Capitol because, of course, what was today was the vote to certify the Electoral College results. And there was a number of different things that could have happened. We've been contemplating this and theorizing on what that could be for weeks now. And President Trump told us to go make our voices heard and march to the Capitol.
That he would be with us.
That he would be with us. So yeah, people were amped up, some good, some bad. And we started walking, and, you know, it was, like I said, a never-ending flow of people. And for the vast majority of the day, you know, it was like this. It was totally peaceful, and everybody was excited to be there. You know, it didn't seem like anything was going to go wrong. So we get to the Capitol, and this is actually...
I would say we're staying frosty and looking for girls' jeans, like Methods would ask us to do. I heard his chat specifically.
He said,
"You want to fight? If you want to find the grifters, dress them with the MAGA gear. Look for girls' jeans." And we did. We did.
Oh, you're talking about skinny jeans.
Skinny jeans.
Okay, I get you now.
I'm sorry. I call them girl. I'm a little. I mean,
yeah. So when we get to the Capitol, there was a barricade around the Capitol. There was actually a number of barricades, and it started off and it was like snow fence, okay?
Yeah.
Like nothing. Obviously, that was not meant to stop anybody. But then you get to the second barricade, and there are 3-4 police officers. This guy might even be a journalist, to be quite honest with you, because there is another journalist standing behind the police. All right, so go ahead and let me just play that for you.
Police are squabbling with protesters. Oh, there we go.
They just let us in. And these guys obviously got in.
And they just breached the Capitol again.
Some other way. That there was no attempt made to stop people coming in. And, you know, when you look at the people that were coming in, I just want you to notice that, I mean, it just looks like a normal group of people, perhaps, you know. I mean, this guy's wearing sweat clothes. I don't know that we can really draw any conclusions as to what type of a person he is. There's some journalists right there on the front. But, you know, I mean, there wasn't necessarily any obviously out of place people. Although throughout the course of the day, we did identify some people who seemed to be out of place. Now, when we were standing there in front of the Capitol building, we were right there in that first wave of people that came in on our side. And we saw that they had crossed the snow fence. We saw that they had crossed that first barrier. And it was immediate. Yes. That's why I showed the police there letting people in, because it was like we started walking, we never stopped walking, and we made it all the way to the base of the Capitol building. And you're sitting there like, and there's almost like this little like scoop out.
Funnel.
Yeah. Yeah. So a funnel, definitely. And then stairs going up on either side. And they had built this tower out of scaffolding. And there was like this almost like a false wall that was scaffolding. It had like some type of like blinding around it so that police or whoever could be positioned all the way in there. And I thought, you know, that was a perch. But they immediately were already like set at a couple of different places up top. And this is like the doors to enter the Capitol. You get up there through those stairs. There was maybe 10 minutes of like exchange between those cops up there and then us on the ground. 99% of the people that were on the ground, we were chanting, people were holding signs, but there was a group of people who immediately climbed that scaffolding tower. I don't know why that scaffolding tower was there. You know, it was almost like it was there just to give people a place to climb up so that they could cause mischief.
I've seen some scaffolding built in my life, and normally the scaffolding would be built, and it would give that, a stepped approach facing the building, so if that work was going to be done, it would be facing the building. This looked like a scaffolding that would, you know, three times the size of what we would normally see from a baseboard perspective, where you could have a lot of people on it, but it also was facing the opposite direction, so it appeared as if it was like stadium too.
Yeah, the whole thing. I mean, it was, they made this, these like steps, these tiers, okay, with like, you know, the funnel ladder that you could go up, you know. I mean, that was there maybe specifically for just somebody to perch up like a sniper or something like that, you know. But I mean, like the scaffolding, there's no reason, like there was no obvious work being done. But there was reports that there were building materials left around. You know, why would they just leave building materials around knowing that we were planning to come to the Capitol? You know, I mean, just that seemed like a setup. It was an invite, basically, for people to climb up it. And once people were up it and we were there and people were chanting, you know, there were some people in the audience who kept saying, you know, keep going, keep going. They were egging people on. It was a very small number of people, you know, but there were people up on the tower. There was somebody with a loudspeaker. And then there were people down there. And then at one point, somebody started throwing bottles. And, you know, JR specifically, you know, was like, you know, what are you doing? You know, don't throw bottles. You know, we're not here for that. You know, because, you know, in my mind, you know, there is something that sets us apart from the people who burned down half the country for the first 9 months of the year. And I know that a lot of people that I've spoken to in that time, you know, I mean, they said the same thing. You know, that's not what patriots do. You know, we go there to make our voices heard, but we're not there. You know, maybe we want to take back the people's house, but we don't want to burn it down in the process, because then what's the point? So, you know, as people are pushing up and they start throwing bottles, well, then the police respond by tossing the first concussion grenade.
Well, before that, it was, I think what's important to realize is that we were all ready to go.
Like, yes, everybody there was amped up, and that's why I was stressing the mood.
But when we got to a certain point on that on that wall, we stopped and we held like a line.
Yeah.
And we all realized that, okay, we're ready to go forward, but we were only going to give a level of energy that was, you know, we were going to reciprocate the level of energy that was going to be, we'll consider what, the opposition, if you will.
Yeah.
And nobody was moving ahead until this small faction of folks started screaming and calling each other names, like antagonizing people to, you know, and hyping people up. We had guys in, dressed like Uncle Sam with megaphones.
Yep.
It was ridiculous. Because they look like clowns. They look like people that were there to provide that purpose. And as much as we tried to restrain that, it wasn't possible.
No.
And then that's where the police, or the Capitol Police, started. They actually started off with pepper balls.
Was it pepper? Oh yeah, okay, pepper balls first. Yeah, yeah. Because we were, I you know, I was zooming in on them and I was getting footage, and you could see there, you know, they were like placed here, here, and then right in the center, like basically, you know, and that was in like the area that would be in front of the doors, and then there were the stairs. There were also Capitol Police placed at the stairs. Guys in the center, they had the plastic riot shields. And then the guys on the corners, they had the pepper ball guns, and there was at least one person who had like a real, like a long rifle.
And the way we moved through that, you know, Zach didn't, it wasn't really in Zach's optic, but, you know, we had myself, we had Abe, and other folks kind of watching the periphery. And when we moved from the Ellipse to the State Building, Zach is kind of, we're walking down the center of the street. There were certain things that stuck out to us. Specifically, all these, you know, the horns or whatever, and mm-hmm. some of the, I would say the part that what looked like the spectators,
mm-hmm.
but it was a smooth walk from, you know, the Ellipse to the Capitol. But again, like you said, when we hit that lawn, there was no expectation to keep going, and we strategically set up on Constitution and 15th so that when the parade started, that we could move with the flow and not have to wait, because there were so millions of people there, at least a million, I would think. But what I'm trying to say is when we got to the trail, there was already thousands of people in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
We intentionally positioned ourselves so we would be in front.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something that's kind of stuck in my mind too. It's like, the number of people that were ahead of us almost felt like that they joined us farther on down the line.
Yeah. Like maybe they were already like waiting on the street to just file in and
we were so excited
assimilate.
We didn't notice it.
Yeah. So after the bottle started getting thrown, and there were pepper balls. There was pepper spray. It looked like maybe somebody fell off, but then there was the first concussion grenade, and it came down like directly to our left. And it couldn't have been more than 15 or 20 feet away, and it was directly above our heads. It was so close. Somebody had said it was fireworks, and I was like, no way, no.
It was a concussion grenade,
and
it put a man into cardiac arrest.
Well, that was the third one. The second one actually hit a dude in the forehead who was right up there. Yeah, and then the third one, a guy had a heart attack, and he actually passed away. So, you know, and then there was the whole deal of, you know, getting him some medical attention, but... you know, after that, the people that were pushing on the cops, on the stairs, they pushed through because after the third one, JR said, the next thing that's going to come is tear gas. So let's just move over this way and see what happens.
Everybody's like, we're not going, we're staying. I was you want tear gas? No. Well, we moved. And then within seconds of moving, there was tear gas everywhere. So we got lucky. We really got lucky, or we would have been stuck in the mud there too.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it was quite literally within like 2 minutes of us moving. And, so at that point, that's when I took this footage of the Capitol, riot police walking up, because they breached through those like three police on either side. We couldn't see what was happening up there, but obviously there's been a lot of footage that has come out, you know, and it's been reported that there were the flashbangs and they were attempting to push people back. You know, you can see it right here. They were shooting directly into the crowd, and there were people that were coming out. Now, what's interesting is, you know, once they got up there, you know, it didn't seem like there was much resistance, but... Keep in mind, this was like after the door had already been breached, and you know, there was force used. And I'm going to show you how somebody got through here in just a minute, or at least how it was partially breached. But you can see from the number of people, lots of people that just streamed up from that bottom area and got in there, and you know, it just looked like basically normal patriots. Now, President Trump put this message out after that happened, and he made this request for people to keep the peace and not harm any of the D.C. police, or if the National Guard were called in, and apparently they have been now. And Twitter deleted it. So just in case you haven't seen it, I wanted to play it because I don't understand why they deleted it.
I know your pain. I know you're hurt. We had an election that was stolen from us. It was a landslide election.
Maybe that's
everyone
it.
Knows it, especially the other side. But you have to go home now. We have to have peace. We have to have law and order. We have to respect our great people in law and order. We don't want anybody hurt. It's a very tough period of time. There's never been a time like this where such a thing happened, where they could take it away from all of us. From me, from you, from our country. This was a fraudulent election. But we can't play into the hands of these people. We have to have peace. So go home. We love you. You're very special. You've seen what happens. You see the way others are treated that are so bad and so evil. I know how you feel. But go home and go home in peace.
All right, so President Trump asking us to keep the peace, comparing the way that we've been treated to the way that others have been treated. Obviously, certain other parties were allowed to burn down the entire country for months at a time with virtually no resistance and complete destruction of businesses. And, you know, whereas, you know, this happens and suddenly the people who attended this rally are terrorists and white supremacists. Seems like they had this narrative already planned out, really queued up. You know, we didn't know what was happening inside the Capitol. We surmised that if we were to enter the Capitol, that it would most likely end badly, and it has ended badly for a couple of people. Suffice to say, I wasn't really all that interested in getting pepper sprayed or having to deal with tear gas. I mean, we had a large group of people. It was scary. We had someone who was injured as well. And, navigating through D.C. and making sure that everybody was able to get back to our hotel, which was, some 40 minutes away from where we were,
Not knowing what's waiting for us on the outside, because there we're surrounded by Patriots, but outside of those gates where we were cattle fenced in by our own police.
Yeah. Talk about that, because, I thought it was really interesting that they made it as easy as possible for people to breach all the way up and then inside the Capitol building. But once we were in that pinch point, there was only two ways out. You could either go into the Capitol building, continue forward, or you could go backwards through millions of Patriots, which were continuing to stream in from the ellipse. Okay. And probably 98% of those people had no idea what was going on, because we didn't have cell phone service. We didn't have Twitter. We didn't have Gab. We didn't have any means of communication, really. Everything was word of mouth. So unless somebody at the front was to say, hey, this is happening, and then it traveled all the way back via telephone, there's no way that would happen. But go ahead.
No, I think it was, to me, walking into the place again, emotions high, you see all this, you're excited. Okay, we think we're going to stomp at the wall. Here we are now having to leave because of everything that's going on. We're thinking of the safety of our group. People are panicking. Everyone has an opinion, right? But we just pulled it together, and walking out of there, it was strategic, because you can't just run into things, because there's a lot of different protocols that they're going to put into place, right? But at the end of the day, as we navigated out of there, it became very obvious that this was, a ploy. I mean, it was a typical war game funnel, and they fenced us in, and we were very close to being trapped by all of the other Patriots still coming from the memorial or from the monument, but also just the materials that they used. Uh-huh. If they were really looking to fence in or create a barrier, they would use the bicycle fence. They didn't. They used things that were easily, not easily maneuvered over physically, but they would appear that they are, right? So wind fence, delay fences, that stuff you trip over in a panic, you get wound up in, and then, the herd just runs everybody over. So in my mind, as I'm trying to get everybody out of there, I'm just thinking to myself, and I think you are too, it's like, what the, it's disgusting. Like, you feel like you're trapped, and you walk up to a police officer and you say, can I come through this little bike fence that you're managing? And they're, no, you got to go 50 yards this way where they're shooting percussion. It's like, why would you do that to us?
And the other thing was, where were all those police when they were expecting millions of people to make their way up to the Capitol building? They had, a couple guys here, a couple guys here, but those few police officers were obviously no match for the throng of people that was making its way from this, event with the president, where everybody's hyped up. We've been told to walk here, and everyone's kind of confused. Do we end here? Are we supposed to wait for the president? What is supposed to happen next? But all of a sudden, they're all around us on either side, forcing us to either go forward or backwards. So, one of the big things that people have been talking about today is, who did this? Was it Antifa? Was Antifa infiltrating the groups? Obviously, the mainstream media, as I said, is painting the people who attended this rally and who breached the Capitol building as white supremacists and hate mongers, terrorists. But it's not that simple. We've got a report here from Paul Sperry. He has a former FBI agent who apparently was on the ground at the U.S. Capitol, and he texted him and confirmed that there was at least one busload of Antifa thugs that infiltrated the peaceful Trump demonstrators as part of a false flag operation on President Trump and all of us patriots that were there to show our support for him. I will say, with certainty, the people who were throwing bottles, that was totally unnecessary. That was something that, to me, was reminiscent of what we saw in the riots that happened all over the country. Also, as we were walking out, there were people stationed with bullhorns at like strategic corners telling us that we were going the wrong way, that we were supposed to turn around. And there was somebody there at the very front with the bullhorn telling us to continue forward, saying, you know, don't turn around. Right. You know, we're taking this back. Right. You know, burn it down. Like, they were just, you know, it was all about
hostile
the destruction.
Action. All hostile action.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was all rhetoric pointed towards go destroy.
Yes. Yes. Meanwhile, you have a huge group of people who are now a force unto themselves because they're all moving and everyone's looking for direction. And the only people that are telling them to do anything are the people with the bullhorns directing them to, you know, destroy and
a small subset of those folks.
Yes, very small.
Panicking. Yeah. Because they're scared to death.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, so there were a lot of people that that got in. Now, just, you know, to show you at least one person who got in, Elijah Schaefer. He has a show on YouTube. He's not Antifa. He's not a leftist. But he got into the Capitol building and he was in Nancy Pelosi's office. And, you know, the senators and congressmen, I mean, obviously they were in the midst of voting on this very important issue. They were dissenting and objecting to the Electoral College votes. I think they did Alabama. Mm-hmm. That was it. And then all of a sudden, you know, they get word that they've been breached.
They broke the glass. Everybody stay down. Get down. Oh, my God. They're on fire on them.
Clearly, the people protecting these elected officials considered this to be very serious. They took it very seriously. So, again, knowing that there were millions of people walking towards the Capitol building without any clear directions, where were they on the outside? I think that it's very, very obvious to me that they were hoping that what happened today would be the outcome. Mm-hmm. You know, they wanted people to breach the Capitol building, and they knew that all it would take would be a small amount of encouragement. Just the right amount of encouragement from the right people with, you know, a couple of those people in the mix, in the crowd. Now, take a look at this. This guy actually witnessed 3 busloads of Antifa who came to infiltrate the rally, and they were escorted by what appear to be federal government vehicles, black SUVs, and Capitol Police.
Sitting up on Summit, and one marked state trooper vehicle, 2 black SUVs, there's 3 state trooper vehicles escorted 4 Antifa shuttle buses right here front center. There was actually 5 vehicles total. There was 3 up front, 2 in the back. They escorted right here, waited for them to get off their buses, and they had the state troopers unloaded and took their positions. Watch. There's that guy. He had his lights on. They were coming. And then there's the ones up front, too. They escorted, and each one of those buses are labeled. They're all paid charter buses.
Look at that, bro.
Here's the blacks. Here's the black SUVs up front. And let's wait till you see who leads it.
Wow. They freaking brought damn Antifa here.
They escorted them here.
You've
literally
got to be.
Lights flashing.
You've
all
got to be effing kidding me.
Lights flashing.
Patriots,
all
are you guys watching this? You guys share this video, please. You've got to be kidding me. On video.
I watched him do it.
Hell no, bro.
Okay, so although the video is small and, you know, you can't really see it, you know, we all heard the reports that there were going to be people planning to infiltrate. Throughout the day, there was, you know, a couple of different groups of people that myself and JR and other people that we were with noticed, and we were kind of side-eyeing and trying to determine if they were legit.
Remember the kid with the skateboard that kept bowing down and praying.
Yes, yes.
And acting really, really weird and smacking things with his skateboard randomly.
Yes, yes. I mean, when was the last time you saw, you know,
an 18-year-old white kid with a skateboard and a red Trump hoodie and a pair of Vans.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, the only thing that was different from what we saw in the riots earlier this year was the Trump hoodie. I mean, that was it, you know? Yeah. I mean, and then there was now there's also a report here on this same stuff from Gateway Pundit. So I just wanted to show you that it's backed up. Now, this is an eyewitness account from somebody who was there. He actually was with the group of people who went into the Capitol building. And the important point here I want to make is that I'm seeing a lot of people saying that the only people who breached the Capitol building were Antifa. And I think it may be difficult for people who weren't there to understand that that's simply not the case. This is a very complicated situation, okay? What you had was this large, large group of people with the instigators at the very tip of the spear, you know, setting the stage for this and breaking down the doors, and then everybody files in after,
and,
you know?
Capitol Police, I think they were very irresponsible in the use of their lesson lethals, and I think that inspired patriots to, because I'm not going to lie,
yeah,
the way they used those percussion grenades, no, I was ready to go.
Yeah, and everybody was ready to go. You know, we were jacked up from President Trump's speech. We were jacked up thinking about how badly we've been screwed around for the last 4 years. Jacked up thinking about the steal that was November 3rd, what happened yesterday in Georgia. And, you know, all it took was one match to light it off. Now, you know, I mean, the person who lit the spark, you know, I truthfully believe that those were infiltrators. Those were people that were put there just to go ahead and do that. But so does this guy here. So I'm going to go ahead and play his testimony.
Hi there. This guy saw what just happened. He claims that it was Antifa dressed as Proud Boys. So I wanted to sort of get his
Trump
story.
Trump supporters. They were dressed as Trump supporters. But I could tell by their conversation that they were looking to do, and I heard him say, we got to shake this up so that these people look bad. And I saw them break a window on the Capitol. I'm an emergency management coordinator in Lehigh County, Pennsylvania. And these people were talking amongst themselves, and I was standing and listening behind them, what they could do to make Trump's people look bad.
Wow, well, thank you for sharing.
And then after I left, I'm like, I'm out of here, okay? Then I started walking away. I heard something else. I heard somebody trying to break another window. I don't know if they actually broke the second window, but I heard something hit a second window.
Did you see any of the mob violence that happened?
That was on the other side of the Capitol building. So there were people climbing up the scaffolding, and a lot of Trump's people started saying, these aren't our people, and started walking away. And they were tearing the plastic, cutting the plastic, and then they the Capitol Police let some tear gas go and got it under control. But they weren't Trump supporters, I'm telling you, they weren't Trump supporters.
Wow.
Trump supporters were walking away. These are people that are trying to promote the false narrative that Trump's people are acting like Antifa and BLM.
So the reports that it was Proud Boys, do you know anything about that?
No, I didn't. No, they weren't Proud Boys. These people were deliberately.
So multiple reports from both sides of the Capitol building that we had people specifically set up to make us look bad, to cause havoc and mayhem, and here are some examples of people. Now, I cannot testify to the fact that this guy is definitively Antifa. We've identified him as being somebody from Arizona, but he's been very vocal and very public, going to a variety of events, holding up a sign, you know, that says "Q sent me" and stuff. But you definitely have this guy right here who appears to have a hammer and sickle tattoo on his hand. You know, I don't think that that's something that a Trump supporter would have. I mean, I've never seen a Trump supporter with a communist tattoo before. So that makes sense to me. And this is the guy from Arizona. He was at this BLM march in June. He was photographed there. And there were reports that while he was there, he was agitating and trying to get people to fight. Now, what was the report that you had from inside the Capitol building, what he was doing?
But before I forget, don't let me forget. I just noticed the tattoo on his chest from the other one.
Yeah.
It struck a chord with me. You see that?
Yeah.
Does that mean anything to you?
Yeah, I mean, I saw somebody saying they thought it was like a pedo tattoo. It's like isn't that like Led Zeppelin or something? Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
It just seemed something, seemed familiar to me, but
yeah.
I wasn't sure what it was.
I think it's like Zoso, like the Led Zeppelin. But
So reports I had inside, we had a friend of mine that actually went inside, well, actually went to the walls, was looking in the window, and he was hearing screams, and he was looking to help people. Specifically, there was a lot of young teenagers that got inside, and one lady had gotten ran over by a bunch of folks, and they were performing CPR resuscitation on her, and then another lady was shot, and once that second female was injured with gunfire, then essentially the lady who was being resuscitated in the beginning was just pulled and drug away, and then continued to run over her in a rush to get in the building while they went to stop the bleeding of the lady who'd been shot. And so the individual who I know that watched that is a very young man, never seen anything like it, and he was there, he was excited, but he was reacting to what he was hearing coming out of his windows, and he was trying to help. And so I spent a lot of time before this live stream talking to him and talking off, out of a lot of things he was going through mentally, because he's still, I would say, in some trauma.
Yeah.
He watched two children get injured.
Now, the thing about this is, there are people who swear that this guy is not a bad guy, that he's just eccentric and he's going to these events, but, this is him at an event that I believe was for climate change or something like that. This has nothing to do with that, but it's just showing that people were planning to show up to events dressed as Trump supporters. So I'm not saying that this guy is Antifa, but some people are saying he is. Some people are saying he isn't. I saw him today. I noticed him because, he was dressed crazy. Yeah. But getting to the woman who was shot, there's video of it out there. I've seen people saying that it's fake, which, just kind of gets me because, we were there. I believe that she was shot. This is how it happened. These were the people inside the Capitol building who were guarding the senators and the reps. And the window was broken, and she was shot through the window. She was shot in the neck. She was laid down. And she was bleeding, and the blood pooled up, underneath her, and a fair amount soaked into her shirt or clothing. But I've looked at the video, and like there's definitely blood, and she's most certainly dead. There are other people who were with us who saw her there in the building. They saw her being wheeled out of the building. I've seen the video of her being wheeled out. I've seen her in the hospital, and she's gone, and she is an Air Force vet. Yeah, it was reported that she was a 16-year-old girl, but she was a 14-year veteran, so she has to be at least in her 30s or mid to late 30s, I would imagine. But her name is Ashley Babbitt. That's basically the only thing we know. I believe this woman to be a patriot. However, she was shot inside the Capitol building. So, I think that goes against the narrative that only Antifa were the ones who breached. And again, this is a very complicated situation. I don't think anybody that was a patriot went inside hoping to destroy property or hoping to hurt anyone. But I believe that there were bad people who were right there at the very front and who were doing that very specifically. Now, this really upset me, but, she's been attacked in the press. People saying that she got what she deserved. What did she expect? She broke into the Capitol building. I played that clip at the very beginning, to make a point. I mean, we learned earlier this year that through violence and destruction, that's the only way you can have your voice heard. You know, we've been basically sitting idly by waiting for justice to happen, doing it the right way, following the law, and having faith in everything that's, you know, that's been going on behind the scenes. And, you know, I think today was just a point where people were fed up and they were like, we're going to make our voices heard. And for the vast majority of the people, you know, marching to the Capitol building and just making our presence known was enough. And I think that, you know, I think that would have been enough. I think that would have, you know, been something that would have gotten the attention of the senators and the representatives. But then, it, you know, it took a wrong turn, and people went inside. You know, but this is the leader of CPAC, and he's suggesting that, you know, she got what she deserved. This is where she was reported as a 16-year-old Trump supporter. But the only one that I know that was shot was the veteran. Now, President Trump, you know, put that message out trying to appeal to people and ask them to not be violent. And, you know, as the one eyewitness said, and as we were saying, you know, when people realized that it wasn't quite right and it wasn't going the way that we thought it was going to go, you know, there were people that started taking a step back. And even the people that were, you know, coming up behind, mm-hmm. you know, I think that they saw that, you know, oh, God, there's people climbing this tower, there's people mm-hmm. climbing the scaffolding. You could see the people like going up the steps and like, you know, grappling with the cops, you yeah. know, so they didn't come all the way up.
Regardless of your political affiliation, mm-hmm. when you protest the establishment, right, if you're of one, then you burn, you destroy, mm-hmm. No repercussions.
Yep.
On the other side, once you go after politicians, then you're shot. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know of any of these people that even went in, regardless of whether they're patriots or Antifa. I don't know or have not heard of any weapons being used.
No,
I don't personally think the gunfire was necessary through a door.
No, it was totally unnecessary. That's the thing. It was completely unnecessary. And oh man, I don't know what happened to it. I had footage of somebody breaking through the front doors of the Capitol, and it was remarkably similar to the footage that we've seen in Seattle and Portland. Mm-hmm. It was a guy in a black shirt with a backpack. He had a hat on, MAGA hat, neck gaiter with an American flag on it.
Looked like he was in a riot shield.
Yeah. He was using the barricade. He was using the barricade to smash through the door. And it was the exact same thing that we saw at these other riots, you know? And so, you know, I definitely believe that that guy was part of this orchestrated movement to set this off and to make sure that it went a certain way. Now, you know, I said it was complicated. I think that President Trump clearly wanted us to show up there. He wanted us and our passion and our thirst for justice to be known to the elected officials in Washington, D.C. And there was a certain amount of goodwill that was had because we had a whole bunch of people who were planning to object to the Electoral College votes. Kelly Loeffler has since reneged on that. As a result of what happened in Washington, D.C., President Trump, you know, I think he had the best of intentions and he wanted us to show up and, you know, we wanted to show up. I don't think he used us in any way. But I think that the other side was well aware of what could happen and just how bad it could get. And they definitely used our passion against us through just a select group of people. And as soon as we were inside, I mean, not me, collectively, the group was inside the Capitol building, it was very easy to, you know, cause havoc, cause mayhem, a lot of confusion. You know, I mean, there's a whole lot of footage of people running around and, you know, things being broken, people fighting with the Capitol police. And, you know, I don't know of any arrests that have been made.
No, I don't either.
No.
I'd be surprised if there were.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, who do we have to identify? Well, we have no one. All we have is the narrative that Trump supporters are terrorists and that the president has, you know, riled up all of this this anger and this hostility. And now it's his fault and it's our fault that all of this has happened. You know, how ironic that they got exactly what they wanted. And now, you know, people are backing away from their votes. I don't know how it's going. I know that they had reconvened and people were, you know, talking about this. They were debating on whether or not to object to these certifications. And I do know that Kelly Loeffler had decided not to. But, you know, here's the thing. In order for President Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act, there's a couple of things that have to happen. And namely, he has to first publish a proclamation ordering insurgents to disperse. And that's exactly what he did in that video, where he asked us to go home. He asked us to be peaceful. And so Joshua, you know, thank you, you know, good luck on getting that very early on. And, you know, I'm sure other people had it too. But, you know, what I was worried about is people, you know, suggesting that the entire event, oversimplifying it and saying that everything was orchestrated by the president simply in order to get to this point,
right,
so that the Insurrection Act could be invoked. You know, that may have been part of the plan, but, you know, certainly the destruction and the deaths that happened were not part of the plan.
That was part of a broadcast by Zach Taylor and his colleague, JR, who run the site Red Pill 78 News. That was an important non-corporate press insight into some of the events that transpired in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. Zach had helped me rebuild my website years ago from a massive cyber attack. It took a few months to put everything back together. Now he's got a great show called Red Pill 78 News that's on BitChute. He was taken off of YouTube. It was very popular on YouTube for nearly a year, but now he's on BitChute, and his website again is redpill78news.com. That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inotherniewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.